Well, I am super thrilled to introduce our next guest. Dr. Christine Schaffner is a board-certified naturopathic doctor who has helped thousands of people recover from chronic or complex illnesses. Through online summits, her Spectrum of Health podcast, network, Eminence Health Clinics, and renowned online programs, Dr. Schaffner goes beyond biological medicine, pulling from all systems of medicine and healing modalities, helping patients reclaim their wellness and reveal their brightest light. Dr. Schaffner, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's always so much fun to connect with you, Jason. Thank you.
Well, I wasn't going to start here, but in your bio, you mentioned biological medicine, and there's probably a handful of people aren't sure what that is just quite. So what is biological medicine? How does it differ from some of these other complementary, integrative, functional, and classical medicine that we might know?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And I'm trained as a naturopath. So I'm a naturopathic physician, and I went to Bastyr and did the whole thing. And, you know, during my time, especially outside of school, and also some mentors in school really introduced me to what we call biological medicine, European biological medicine, German biological medicine. There's a group in the US, a lot of American trained doctors that want to use the word bioregulatory medicine now, because biologics is kind of co-opted by pharmaceuticals. And so to differentiate, but this field and system of medicine takes, I think, all these medicines that we talked about a step deeper. And, you know, we're looking, of course, at root causes. We're looking about why people have the imbalances they do, but it's of the premise that the body innately knows how to self-regulate and heal. And if there are obstacles to that, you know, that is basically where disease happens. And disease really happens from a combination of factors. But bioregulatory medicine really looks at the terrain. So it's not just about the bug. It's about the host response to the bug. So it's a very much terrain-based medicine. So it's a very much more empowering view to look at the body. So how do we support the terrain? We support the extracellular matrix, the lymphatics, we clean up the mouth, we look at interference fields, we look at scars, we look at trauma and emotional history, we look in the environment. So it is, you know, definitely some principles and things that, you know, functional medicine or naturopathic medicine uses, but I think it goes a little deeper. And I also think that they have a very much appreciation and understanding for biophysics and bioenergetics. I think that there's this wonderful conference, and of course, with COVID, I haven't been to in a while, but it's in Germany. It's called Medicine Week, and it's in a town called Baden-Baden. It's been happening for many years, and it's all in German, so I don't get to listen to a lot of the lectures. But what's so fun about going there is that they have this beautiful exhibit, and they have all these vendors, and you know, in Europe, supplements are actually harder to distribute and they're more regulated than in the US, but they have all of these energy medicine devices and bioenergetic assessment and healing tools. So they really understand that our body operates with electromagnetic fields of information and energy. And so that really always opened my mind. And, you know, in the US, we have all these supplements, but we don't have all these devices, even though more devices are coming up. So bioregulatory medicine is just this really beautiful medicine that I think really looks at the true cause of illness today.
That's beautiful. And I love what you're saying, because it's when we get down to that level. I mean, I actually love the word bioregulatory. I think that actually describes the modality a little bit more and the philosophy. But it, to me, it's so important to recognize that the body has the capacity to regulate. The body has, in other words, our natural state is health. And it's only when things get in the way or things are blocking these natural processes, or even perhaps we may not be healthy. In fact, we were just talking about this as I got an illness recently, that there's a process of letting that clear. In other words, I don't feel well, and yet the body's doing exactly what it needs to do. So that's a philosophy. You and I both have little ones. We see this a lot with little kids, right? In fact, to some degree, we want them to get sick, right? And that's how the body learns to adapt and deal with these things and become stronger, right? So even when we're not feeling well, there's a fundamental philosophy here that the body has the capacity to return to this balanced state, right? Mm-hmm. And it has the wisdom and intelligence built in already. There's nothing we have to add to it necessarily to make that happen. I think that's so important.
Yeah. And, you know, I still very much see patients, and they're very much teaching me these principles every day that, you know, you learn and you think about and then you see in real life, and there's that feedback loop. And it's the bioregulatory medicine, I feel like, just is such a more empowering, hopeful, and also very much real phenomenon. And I think in this modern day where we're trying to navigate, you know, health and what's wrong and what, you know, where to go, that's not really the conversation. You know, we've lost that, you know, conversation that, you know, we can do this, we can heal from this. And I don't want to jump ahead too much, Jason, but I'm deepening my understanding too of, you know, our physical bodies, right? So we have these physical bodies. I've also alluded to our bioenergetic nature and concept we call the biofield. And I'm, you know, studying also that relationship within what we call the electric universe, which also connects us, not to get too out there too quickly, but to the unified field, if we can talk about what that means. And so not only does our body have the ability to self-regulate and heal, but we're also connected, if we choose to observe, a huge field of healing potential outside of us that is always available that we can tap into. And again, I'm very much a student. I don't pretend to have all the answers or be an expert, but I'm playing with that idea more and trying to integrate that more in my life. And I just am very much excited about, I think people are studying this and trying to bring this language into, you know, modern times, so that we can also harness that as much as our own internal ability, but also trust in this greater force that we have access to that can help add more healing and light and coherence into our body.
I love that. And you use a really key word there at the end that I think for me, I'm actually finishing my book, and coherence shows up just over and over and over. To me, it seems like the biological key to make things flow and then harmonize, right? And, you know, I came from the engineering world, the physics world, the math world. And, you know, it's interesting because I got into all this sort of the electric universe, even as I got into the health world. I read the book, The Body Electric. And to me, this is really interesting stuff, right? Because I think most of the people watching this now probably are familiar that there's electromagnetic frequencies that can both harm us and help us, and there's light therapies and things. But what's really interesting to me is that if we take a step back and go back to the chemistry, the biochemistry, really what we're talking about is just charges, right? The body's using different ions and different metals and different chemicals and different biological agents, but really we're just moving around charges in the body, right? If you look at the mitochondria in particular, you look at cell membranes, you look at water, all of these things are separating charges, using charges to essentially create function, right? And so then if we just use that as our premise, then I think we can start asking some really interesting questions. Okay, how does light, electromagnetic frequency affect the electric charges in certain instances? How does sound affect these electrical charges? And sure enough, we find out that it's not just these chemical agents that affect the electric charges, but it's the electromagnetic frequencies, it's the sound. All of a sudden, that opens up a huge world of potential agents. And interestingly enough, when we look backwards through the indigenous cultures, the Ayurvedas, the Buddhists, the Chinese medicine, they're using chanting, they're using some of these technologies, you know, the didgeridoo, all of these things, there's instruments, they're using sound, they're using light to affect healing. So I just opened up a huge can of worms for you, but we're navigating into the future of medicine, I think. And so tell me what comes up for you as I kind of open that up.
No, I love it. The more I study this, you know, you kind of get like, okay, health is flow. Health is how much exclusion zone water is in our body. Health is coherence. You know, I've done some talks on that, and I love that your book is about that. I've been wanting to, you know, have more conversations around that, because I think that is really such an important concept when we're talking about these principles. And I guess the message in the backdrop as we talk, you know, I love this conversation of interconnectedness, right? And so we have our, you know, parts of our body that, you know, are highly interconnected. You know, when we study anatomy, we think of okay, this system, that system, but it's all interwoven, right? And so we start with the cell, right? And within the cell, obviously there are all the organelles and the mitochondria and the nucleus and the DNA, and it's surrounded, the structure of the cytoskeleton is microtubulin. And microtubulin, basically just imagine these, like these networks cross over the cell membrane by integrins, and then we're in the extracellular matrix, and there's this whole interconnection in the extracellular matrix, bathing in the lymphatic fluid and the interstitial fluid with the collagen and the elastin and the proteoglycans, and then it's going into tissues and organs.
So real quick before you go there, I love it because you're hitting on something that's so important. I don't want people to overlook it, which is that once we get outside the cell, it's not like there's just space or there's just empty cavities or even just blank fluid. There's a whole network of biology that's happening outside the cells, outside the organs, and this is what you're talking about, right? In fact, I think didn't we actually label the interstitium actual organ, right? So maybe just talk to me a little bit more about the interconnectedness, because I love what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, the interstitium is a new organ, and it is actually the lymph fluid underneath the connective tissue of the skin. And it is a way that basically transports all this fluid and information. And, Dr. James Oshman, he wrote a book, Energy Medicine, and he calls it the living matrix. And this conversation I wanted to paint is this interconnectedness from the DNA to basically the fascia, the skin. And then I'm going to like take a leap outside, into the biofield, into the field. We're having all of this information exchange. And this is where, of course, we have biochemistry. We could talk about that all day. But this is also, how we can make sense of biophotons, right? So we know that the smallest packet of light information actually is a big part of how our bodies communicate. Our DNA actually emits biophotonic information that travels along the microtubulin, goes into the connective tissue and really travels along the collagen. And that coherent light is actually helping our biochemistry run, if you will. And, going back to your coherence talk, which I'm sure you're, writing all about this, healthy cells have coherent light information and unhealthy cells have incoherent light information, and they often leak light. Six cells leak light. It's having like that Goldilocks amount of light that's organized in the cell that actually describes what a healthy cell is.
So quick, I'm going to pause there, because if people aren't familiar with coherent light and maybe not so into the physics world, I just want to give kind of some analogies that people are used to. So, if I use a flashlight and I shine light on something on the wall, I can't really inject in too much information in that light. It's too scattered. It's not coherent. But yet, if I have a laser, right? And you see this, go back to the old CDs, right? Or a laser disc player, right? We can actually create or include information, that light can include information. This is really wild stuff, right? So based on the coherence of the light, we can actually have information embedded in that. So bring that back to that biology. This is real. This is why coherence, in my opinion, and I think you too, it's like there's something, and I would say it's as close to magic as we can get, right? It's quantum in nature, it's magical, it's instantaneous in a lot of ways. Like, this is wild stuff. And so when we get down to that level of coherence in the cell, this is real, this is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really beautifully said. And, in the image that I'm trying to paint is like within the body and then adding health to the body. That's why our light therapies work. If we can add more coherent information to the field, to the physiology, then our cells can basically get that information and start working better. And that's why photobiomodulation and photodynamic therapy are, therapies. So we have this whole world of light information, and that like is so exciting to me. I love seeing the world, with this, through this lens. And then you mentioned sound too, right, Jason? And so this is an area I'm new to study, but, there is also, we said biophotons, but there's also this idea of biophonons, that sound and vibration is the way that our cells communicate too. And there's this researcher out of UCLA, I always forget his name, and he studied cells that were healthy, had a coherent beautiful harmony in cells that were sick, like cancer cells or cells that were dying, had this dissonant, really disturbing, you know, sound. So even from like a vibratory sound, you know, perspective, we are, you know, we communicate, our physiology communicates that way. And then, you know, sound is, you know, we have ultrasound, right? We know that we can use sound to visualize structures in the body and that our body is permeable to sound waves. And then we can also use different frequencies and different sounds to create more coherence in our field, which also translates to more coherent information in the body. And a visual like you just shared with laser light. Have you seen, you know, I'm sure you've seen the somatics, right? If you Google somatics and you see these visuals where they put sound frequency at different hertz, you know, in a field of like matter. So it's often sand, and that frequency they show changes matter and creates these beautiful coherent patterns within the matter. And so, you know, Dr. Dispenza, I've been down that rabbit hole and he's been opening my eyes that when we think about coherence, we think of light, but we also think about coherent patterns of information within the water, within the cell, that is what tells our biochemistry to run. So again, you know, I'm noodling over all of this, but it's very much, I've had experiences that I know there's truth here. And, you know, I think again, it's such a inspiring way to look at the future of medicine, because just, you know, Dispenza says matter to change matter with matter takes time. To change the field, you can change matter. So I'm looking at like the elegant shortcuts, right, that can accelerate our patient's healing. And that's really my desire, to look at these things like, how can we, you know, facilitate this in, you know, a more elegant way?
Yeah, totally. And I actually have, you brought up somatics, I have these amazing photos that were taken with a high powered camera of water, basically vibrated at a certain frequency, and it creates different patterns. And so I actually have one of each of the chakras at each frequency, with the colors and the patterns that are displayed in the water are just brilliant and beautiful. And I think this is what, you know, in my book and in thinking about coherence, because there's a lot there that I think if we just meditate with or sit with, that we can pick up or learn. And one of the things that I was thinking about was music. You know, it's really interesting that we all have different tastes in music, no question. But when you hear a note that's off key, when you hear a note, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't sound good, right? And yet, if you hear a note that's on key, there's just something about it that seems good. It seems, you know, maybe you don't get excited about hearing a C sharp, for example, but it just feels okay, right? And then of course, when you hear beautiful melodies and harmonies and all of a sudden it can actually move you emotionally, right? And so this is what's interesting to me, is that there's like the universal aspect to music. When we hear something, when we hear a note that's coherent, it feels good, right? So to me, that signals that there's something in our biology that is happening, right? And I think this is where we're at in the West, is science is trying to catch up to some of these things that we inherently know to be true, right? And some of these indigenous and ancient cultures have known for a long, long time through their practices. Science is now trying to figure this stuff out on a sort of Western scientific level, right? So to some degree, we're still trying to figure this stuff out, but yet we know these things to be true. And I think through our direct experience, we can learn a lot. In fact, I've done a little bit of work with ayahuasca and with some of the indigenous healers, and they use ícaros, which are these songs, right? Or they'll use other types of music, whether it's guitar or harmonica or drums or what have you. And when you're in that experience, because your state is so open, your field is so open, the music has a profound impact on your nervous system, has a profound impact on your emotions. And so these are some of the things that I think, as I think about how these energies are impacting us, you know, it really is quite powerful, right? And of course, we've got people like Masaru Emoto and his work. And I know a lot of people like to dismiss that work, but there's too much evidence when it comes to the study of water and sound and how it's working together to dismiss it. There's something there with this stuff.
So we definitely know how sound can affect water. And you mentioned Emoto. And I have a dear friend, Kelly Kennedy, who introduced me to this Austrian man, Rasmus Scout Berghausen, and he studied with Emotive for 20 years. He came out, I would love to introduce you to both of them. And he came up with a device that takes your heart rate variability. So it's a piece of software that takes your heart rate variability and then converts it to sound and light and plays it back to you. And so you're basically auto-tuning
your neurofeedback for your heart.
Exactly. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So you're basically increasing coherence in your field, structuring the water in your body with this equipment. And so, you know, that to me, and you know, okay, we're saying these things, but what happens to people? One woman who works with me came and visited and did a sound of soul, her tinnitus went away. Other people just have these deep moments of gratitude or opening. You know, the more that we learn about this work, you know, it's all complicated and then it's very simple, right? It's a simple equation of just open your heart. You're like, what does that mean? You know, and it's just the more that we open our heart, we get in touch with that part of us, so that whatever you believe in, but that is where love and gratitude and appreciation lie. We create more coherence in our heart rhythm, and then that creates more coherence in our field, informs our brain, and we're just more in this, you know, flow of life, right? Coherence is like this aligned energy that it's an efficient use of energy and information, right? And so when you're in that state, you know, things flow, right? The flow within you, flow to you. So, you know, I have that experience within my office of, you know, using sound and light and how that really can affect us on this profound level.
Wow. That's amazing. I love that. And, you know, I we can go off and get really weird in this conversation, but I'd be remiss to not pick your brain with some of the stuff that you do on a day-to-day basis, because you have a lot of brilliance in the work that you do. I know you see a lot of some of the most challenging cases, because essentially you've been trained so well, and people come to you and they basically can't find answers. So maybe you can talk to me about some of these things that when people come to you, you know, with Lyme and basically unknown ailments, what are some of the areas of health that you find are kind of left out of the conversation or they haven't looked into? You know, one of the, and I'd love you to bring in interference fields, because that's one term I actually learned from you and it made so much sense once I heard it, but nobody's really teaching this stuff in the broad way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, with the patients I see, again, they teach me every day. And, you know, often I find there are, you know, they've seen a lot of great doctors. It's not from like a lack of trying, but I think that, again, I'm coming from that perspective of the body knows how to self-regulate and heal. And, you know, this idea of also terrain theory. So it's not just about Borrelia or Epstein-Barr or mercury, you know, we're looking at all of it, right? And so, you know, one of the first things I approach people with is thinking about, do they have an interference field that's been overlooked? And we use that terminology because it just brings to light what is interfering with their body's ability to self-regulate and heal. And that field is like that kind of also that physics, right? Like what's affecting their electromagnetic information as well. And so when we think about it, we look at the mouth very often. So the mouth can be an interference field. We can see from dental toxicity from still, unfortunately, amalgam fillings are still overlooked and they're very neurotoxic and they can be very disruptive to our autonomic nervous system.
I think the reason they're overlooked in my experience is that the patient or the client comes in complaining about a knee or an ankle, or there's some liver enzymes that are all out of whack, right? So it's sometimes if we're not trained in this way, it can be very confusing to look in the mouth because there's a knee issue.
And totally. And I respect that. And I think that, you know, you have to like, okay, the knee is talking, but what were the conditions to lead to the knee, to have that inflammation, to have that degeneration, you know? And I think that we're short-sighted if we think of the knee in isolation, right? We could do all the ozone and all the regenerative medicine and get that knee rebuilt and restructured. But if we didn't do anything else in the body to change the conditions, is that knee truly healed? Or are we going to see the regression to these symptoms over time again. And that's unfortunately the case. You know, we have to, you know, we have all this wonderful, you know, access to all these innovative modalities. And it's just like, how do we use them and when do we use them? And so with that being said, you know, the mouth is still much very overlooked. And so we look at, you know, dental toxicity, the amalgam fillings, always get those removed with a biological dentist in combination with a functional medicine doctor. You are, you know, one of the doctors that really understand this. So you just do all the support, you know, so that can be something very health promoting rather than negatively impact you.
And so what you're doing there is you have the biological dentist who's really, really skilled and trained to remove that, those amalgams in the safest way possible, usually as quick as possible, right? Yes. And then also the functional or integrative or perhaps naturopath doctors there to help support any of the mercury vapor or some of the stuff that might get in the way with binders and these type of things.
Yeah,
right?
IV therapy and all the things to prep, right? You know, because you're going to get that removal. And often there's a mistake where people think, oh, I got my amalgams removed, I'm free of mercury. That's just step one. You know, you've had a lifetime of, you know, mercury vapors being released over time, you know, getting into the their neurotoxins so they can get into the cranial nerves that can then shuttle mercury into the brain, can get into the digestive tract. So it takes time, you know, and you need to also be patient with metal detox. It's not something that's going to, again, happen overnight. It's a process. And so definitely working in combination. And then other interference fields can be either root canal fillings. So root canals are dead teeth. So they're teeth that die. Dentists take out the root, put in a bunch of non-biological material into the tooth, and then they say, oh, the tooth is sterile, it's sealed, it's fine. That tooth, we know, can be a basically a focal infection over time, and that bacteria, viruses. I just had a patient who got her root canals out, and we have this dental DNA connections. We'll do a PCR test to see what's there. And all sorts of bacteria, entamoeba, you know, all of these, you know, things that, again, when you think about the proximity of the mouth to the circulation, it's a very exposed area. So you're getting all of this systemically. So you could have a knee problem, but you could have oral microbiome imbalances with pathogenic bacteria in your mouth that's poisoning your joints and your bladder and, you know, things that you don't even think of, right? So so the mouth is very much connected. So we look at, you know, getting those root canals extracted, unfortunately, safely. So making sure the tooth is extracted, all of the dead necrotic jaw and bone that is, you know, still around the roots is cleaned out with ozone. Usually we put platelet-rich fibrinogen, you know, in the mouth so that, or in the jaw rather, so that that can heal well and be solid for then potentially an implant down the road. And we use zirconia or ceramic implants that can be very helpful. And then another area that we look in the mouth, Jason, is the cavitations. So the wisdom tooth cavitation area. So this can be an area where the tooth was extracted, but it didn't always heal. So there's a basically pocket of necrotic dead bone that can be, again, another reservoir for infection. And so, you know, we look at all those things, and that can have a profound effect on the whole body, the brain. You know, we even know Alzheimer's, there's a link to a type of bacteria in the mouth. You know, we know the heart can be affected. You know, we know this in conventional medicine, right? So the oral microbiome is very important to our health. And we're, you know, again, we're looking at safely removing them and doing that with a lot of support. And one other connection that we see in biological medicine is the meridian system. Mm-hmm. So each tooth sits on a meridian. So there could be an interference to a meridian, which also is kind of a highway of electrical energy in the body. So if there is a circuit that is broken in an area, that can affect communication. And so, for instance, like the front teeth are related to kidney bladder. So somebody might have interstitial cystitis or chronic UTIs, and they might have a root canal in their front teeth. And so there's that relationship that we see. Also, The wisdom teeth area is very connected to the vagus nerve, you know, because of the vagus nerve branches that come out through the neck. So anyone who's, you know, in my office who has POTS or dysautonomia or, you know, just a lot of vagus nerve symptoms, you know, we look and make sure that there's not a cavitation that's a kind of really chronically poisoning the vagus nerve and creating what we call vagus nerve toxicity or vagus nerve infection.
Yeah, I remember speaking with a teacher of mine, Dr. Vasant Lad, who is Ayurvedic master.
Yeah.
And you know, in Ayurveda, they teach that there's places on the tongue that are, again, through meridians related to different organ systems. And I almost bit through my entire tongue when I was a kid. And so I have a pretty big scar on the right side of my tongue. And I asked him, I said, could this be affecting my kidney bladder area? And he said, yeah. Yeah. Of course, or maybe it's spleen. I can't remember. I have to look, but you know, these are the interesting things that as we open up to the idea that the body is connected, now we can start to think about some of these things that we have. And that's one of the areas I want to talk to you about next, which is scars, because, you know, most of us in adulthood have some scars here and there. Some of us have quite big scars from big events. And so how does something like a scar, you know, it work as an interference field in the body?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the focal infections are kind of like the interference field, and then scars are, you know, the other one that we very much look at, Jason, and very much are, you know, when I see a new patient, especially in person, you know, we do a scar history and see if that's affecting them. And scars are basically disruption in the fascia, right? So there's scar tissue in the fascia that is creating, again, it is closed off from surrounding tissue. It's not communicating as well with the neighboring tissue.
And real quick, before we get too deep, maybe you can explain what fascia is for those who aren't familiar, and how important fascia is, because I think it wasn't until, you know, a couple of years into my health practitioner journey, I started realizing, oh my gosh, fascia is quite important. I better pay attention to this.
Yeah. Fascia is like where it's at, right? So fascia, you know, we learn in school, like, oh, it's the saran wrap and it's structural for muscles and it keeps everything together. And it has just a structural role. And then as our understanding has evolved, fascia is actually a very important part of our communication network in our body. And even my good friend Gina Bria, who's taught me a lot about structured water, fascia actually carries structured water throughout the body. So it's basically this water irrigation system in the body. And it also, you know, again, is related, because we talked about that idea in the beginning of the living matrix. So, you know, it's this idea that everything's, you know, interconnected. And so we can really, by doing fascial therapies and opening up the fascia, we can open up the interstitium and the lymphatics and the extracellular matrix and really change epigenetic expression, you know? And so that is a big piece of, you know, that interconnection. And then fascia too, with this role of exclusion zone water and, you know, basically irrigating our system, we know a property of this form of water is that it, you know, it can hold memory. It can hold, you know, some people say consciousness, some people say memory, some people call it fascial memory, but we have that experience, right? Which we can go into in the scar, but, you know, you might have a person who does myofascial work or craniosacral or some type of body work where it's a hands-on modality, and you don't know what's happening, but all of a sudden you have a memory or a thought or some type of visceral response where you're releasing a stuck emotion, and it's not in your brain. It's in your mind, you know? And so that, have you had that experience?
Yeah, I've had a lot with Rolfing in particular. So Rolfing is one of those like amazing techniques that if anybody's heard of it maybe haven't, but look into this, because if you take a 10 series, there's a classical 10 series of Rolfing that just goes throughout the body and goes up the nose. There's all kinds of crazy stuff, but it's not only can it actually change the physical way your body is held, like my hip changed directions. Like it changed the structure. Like I was able to walk in a more balanced way. Emotions came up. I got extremely tired after one session in particular, like almost like chronic fatigue type of just like malaise and just exhaustion. I've just had a lot with that type of work. And of course, massage too, and some other things, but Rolfing in particular has really opened me up to this idea that fascia holds something special. There's something magical when it comes to trauma and these stored energies and stored emotions that get that caught or stuck in the system.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I think, you know, when you go back to like scars, right? Scars can be this interruption in the fascia, right? So that can affect more, you know, can really, you know, create more stuck energy. We're also sometimes called scars islands of turbulence, right? So this kind of island within the body that's not communicating and also has this traumatic potentially information. So it's actually, you know, very stressed part of the body. And so it's basically scar tissue can hold toxicity more. So just the netting and the fabric of scar tissue. So things that we're exposed to can settle in. You know, the cell voltage of cells in a scar tissue is what we call lower resting membrane potential than healthy cells. So it's, you know, basically a weaker kind of stressed cell that's disruptive to our autonomic nervous system. And then again, when we think about the water that holds the memory in the scar, you know, often, you know, I'll inject C-section scars for women, right? So some people have planned and it's not a traumatic event, but some women it's completely traumatic. It's an emergency. They have a lot of stuck energy that they have not processed, that the body's walled off, that can affect, you know, the flow of information and energy in the body. And so when you think of like a C-section scar, it's often along the, you know, abdomen. So it's also affecting communication from the legs to the abdomen. We think about the digestion too, all of, you know, the digestive organs underneath the scar, the reproductive organs. And so this can be a, you know, definitely an area that, you know, is really holding the body back. And so when we do neurotherapy, there's other ways to treat scars. I would say neurotherapy is the most effective. I mean, I'm biased because I, you know, do the treatment, but if you don't have access to
What is that? What is that?
Yeah. Neurotherapy is a German injection technique that we use, often a substance called procaine, which is a local anesthetic. It's been around since the 1920s, compounded, preservative-free, and it has a beautiful property to break down scar tissue and also reset the cell membrane potential, so then the cells can basically flush out toxins better. And so it's essentially breaking down the scar tissue, increasing circulation, helping with the electrical activity in the scar. And then when we're doing the scar injections, often people will have those emotional releases as well. So, you know, people can see their scar tissue softer, you know, they feel less stuck energy in that area. They can feel, you know, more in that area. And then again, when we think of interference fields, like sometimes, you know, a patient comes into my office and I'm like, you know, I don't know exactly what to do, but I know, you know, let's work on this interference field. Let's uncover this interference field. Let's, you know, treat these scars and just get stress off the system so that the communication network is back online.
This is interesting, right? Like, yeah, it's a totally different approach. In other words, you're getting away from this differential diagnosis and saying, here's what's wrong with you. Here's the thing that you have. Instead, you're looking and saying, okay, well, we've got some scars here. We got some trauma there. We got some heavy metals here. We've got, you know, Wi-Fi and all kinds of electromagnetic radiation in your environment. And you're just analyzing all the things that are getting in the way of health from revealing itself. And that seems to be your guide. And I'm sure as you go, there's things that get revealed along the way, but that's a really, really different way of going about working with somebody who's got chronic illness.
Yeah, you know, we're in the middle of like a paradigm shift, right? And so, you know, our culture has trained us like, you have this, you do this, you get better, you know, and I am still surprised that works, you know, because it probably doesn't, because that's why we're seeing this evolution in medicine, because the body is way more, you know, than just one mechanism is off and needs one target treatment and then we're good, you know, that will never solve all the problems. And so what I'm hoping as we, you know, go through these times is that we can really embrace this other paradigm, you know, that we can really look at our bodies as this ecosystem and this dynamic interplay of all of this information, but there is a driving force within the body that is trying to regulate, trying to find homeostasis, trying to heal. And if it's not doing that, as you said in the beginning, it's not because it's broken, it's because something's in the way, right? And so it's just this kind of more uncovering releasing process, so we can, you know, it's a facilitation rather than a, you know, just trying to suppress or cut off or, you know, shift in other ways. And, you know, those, I'm not completely anti-medicine, of course, there's a role for all of it, but just understanding why and how we're using things, of course. So yeah, I mean, I very much think that we're in a paradigm shift. You know, we have to get away from the single, you know, mechanistic model. We have to think in way more in systems and way more, and you know, this whole you know, like flow of information and energy that is, you know, coming from all these other aspects that we've talked about through our conversation. So I very much hope in my career that this conversation that we're having and this approach is way more the mainstream conversation than just kind of these, you know, these niche, you know, conversations on the side.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, I get excited about some of these things that are subtle energy medicines, right? Things like the Bach flower remedies and, mm-hmm. and homeopathy. And, you know, this stuff is subtle, right? But it can be powerful in its own right. And I'm curious, you know, you explore a lot of these up and coming alternative ideas when it comes to health. What are some of the things that you're seeing come out? Like what gets you excited about medicine as we go into this sort of more biofield medicine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. And so many things, you know, and so really light, sound, and water, you know, and then, you know, again, how do we, you know, interact also with the more that we get our state, you know, our state of energy in a state of coherence, how we can connect with the unified field. And so these are thoughts that I have on a regular basis, but I feel that light, you know, so I mentioned Sound of Soul, I have that. We also have this a piece of equipment in our office called the Weber laser, and we can do intravenous laser therapy. We can do also topical or interstitial, and every color of light has a different biochemical phenomenon in the body. So we can use red light, green light, blue light, yellow light, infrared, UV. So these different light therapies can have an effect on structuring the water, helping us make more ATP and carrying oxygen, being antiviral, antibacterial, helping us, you know, feel happier, you know, with, you know, different, you know, yellow actually helps with serotonin production. So that's pretty fun. And then there's kind of combination of what we call photodynamic therapy, where we combine with either natural or pharmaceutical agents things that have a peak spectrum absorption. So methylene blue is something
that's what just came to mind.
Methylene blue is something I use often, and it's a dye. It has all these like really amazing properties. It's an electron donor, so it helps to donate electrons to the mitochondria in the absence of oxygen. It's also anti-malarial, antiviral, it's a nootropic. It is photoactivated by 660 nanometer red light. Yeah, so basically our cells, especially inflamed cells and cancer cells, take up photosensitizers and almost like make, like present them to light therapy, like make us respond better to light therapy. So we can give intravenous methylene blue or oral methylene blue and combine that with red light. And then we get a magnified, amplified response that we would, you know, not see if we did them alone, you know. Yes. So that whole photodynamic therapy has a really exciting future, I think, in the field of chronic illness as well as cancer therapy. So that's something I'm really excited about.
And a little word of caution, if anybody's going to take methylene blue orally, It will turn your mouth bright blue. So
just turns your mouth blue. You know, we have capsules, but yeah, there's mouth blue. Turns your pee blue.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to play with.
It's
very safe, I would say.
Yeah, it's very safe. If you're on any SSRIs, you know, you want to, it's not a true contraindication, but you definitely want to be aware of the dose and work with your psychiatrist. It's a really fun, you know, agent. And so this combination of, you know, I've been thinking about all my medicine, like, what's the peak spectrum absorption of this? And how can I photoactivate that? You know, so that's exciting. And then sound, we talked about, sound therapy is, I think in my office, the main tools that I'm using are Sound of Soul. And then I've been working with a bio resonance device that comes out of Russia. And it's a technology that does a lot of different things. And I see this as the future, that people are going to have more access to this information, that essentially different programs, and there's different companies and all of that. But basically send information to your body. Your body basically says, is this tissue in resonance or not, right? Is it in balance or out of balance? And so we can pick up all of this information in our physical bodies and our biochemistry that a lab might not be able to pick up yet. And so, and then we can give healing frequencies, to the system. So, if the liver is out of balance, to give, resonant frequencies to the liver, or, so forth. So there are these technologies and equipment that are becoming more affordable that you can do at home. Part of the one that I'm talking about also has a inner voice program where you speak. And it has a program where it finds when there's too low of tones or too high of tones. Mm-hmm. And they've done this research to find that those correspond to different subconscious emotions that your body is mm-hmm. dealing with, and then gives you through sound and music, the balancing frequencies.
Mm, beautiful. I mean, it's almost like this stuff is, it's only limited by our creativity. Like, we're going to get so creative with how we use these tools and technologies, because the technologies are getting there, right? To where we can really do some amazing things. And we have, of course, things like binaural beats, and this has kind of become popular, but I think we're just going to continue pushing the envelope when it comes to how can we use sound and light and infoceuticals? How can we inject information into water and blah, blah, blah. There's just so much there. And in fact, you remind me, speaking of the Russian technology, it seems like a lot of this physics-based health stuff comes out of Russia, Japan, kind of the Eastern blocks. And I've got one device called the BioWell GDV, and I know you know that one. And I took that on a health retreat that I was on. It was actually an ayahuasca health retreat. And I took measurements like 3 or 4 times a day throughout the week. And I saw my measurements, and I'll just call it that because there's a lot of information, but my health improved dramatically, which taught me two things: that there was a relationship between both the health retreat that I was on and the impact that it was having on my body. And this device seemed to be pretty accurate on some level to be able to display that back to me. And so, and just for those who aren't familiar with the BioWell GDV, it's a, put your finger in this little box, and it's measuring the output of biophotons coming out of each fingertip. And somehow, through pretty complex physics, it's able to discern and give you back feedback on various organ systems and aspects of your health. And so I don't get married to these things. Like, I'm not in love with convincing people this works and this is, I just kind of experiment and play and see what's what, right? And this is what's fun about a lot of these things as we go forward, is that they're going to become so much more accessible. You mentioned testing. There's a lot of great tests out there, right? With the metabolites and things that we can produce in the body, but yet it's still just a snapshot in time. It's very expensive, right? The access is still not quite there. And so, with some of these other technologies, I think that we're going to get more real-time data, more continuous data, mm-hmm. and we're going to have a little bit more understanding of what to do with that beyond just supplements, herbs, and pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I have, patients who have gotten some of this technology that's more affordable at home. And there's just this settling of their system, that they have a biofeedback tool that gives them some information that they feel empowered of how to navigate through their treatment with. And so I think there's just so much there. And then also, because with bioenergetics, things change, right? So it's also just sharing, like, we are cyclical, dynamic beings, and we need different things at different times, and connecting people with that information more and more, I think, will help us only enhance their treatment results. And so, no, I'm, this, and that, even if, again, you're listening and are skeptical out there, whenever I try something, like with this one device, I tested every patient that I saw, just, as part of their visit for like, I don't know, almost 2 years now. And it's amazing how it gives me some clinical insights or clinical thoughts that I wasn't quite maybe thinking. And then totally. We go into and get either the lab verification, or if I address it, you know, they feel better, you know. So, you know, clinical practice teaches you, you know, you're going to learn through your patients and not through a study, you know, what works.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that. Those little clinical insights, the little hints, the little, and through that sort of big aggregation of data, you can start to really parse some things out and start to figure out what this machine's good for, what it's accurate for, what's going on. And again, I get so excited about these things as they become more and more available. Dr. Schaffner, you work with some of the most complex cases. Where can people find your stuff if they're looking for somebody to really help them navigate their health, especially for those that can't figure out what's going on? Where can they get some of your trainings, teachings, and perhaps some of your personal help?
Oh, thank you. So I have a clinic in Seattle. It's called Eminence Health. And eminence was a word that came to me. It means the divine within. So it's all about really connecting to our own innate ability to heal and connect. And so I have a team of people that I work with. And we also do telemedicine. And then I have a website, drchristineschaffner.com. And I have a podcast. I've got to get you on, Jason, again. It's always fun to talk to you.
I'd love to,
you know, just anything that I'm up to, we try to post there. So thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for showing up today and spreading your knowledge, and thank you for everything you're doing in the world. I really appreciate the information you put out. You're a teacher for me. So I love listening to you and getting some new insights into the field of bioenergetic medicine and biofield medicine and all that stuff. So thanks so much. And we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you.